First Kings, if you got it. When you get it, if you would like, would you stand with me as we honor the author of this book? If you would like to be seated and honor him, that is fine. I know we are a Pentecostal church, so we have you standing somewhat. So if you're ready to fall over the pew, you may be seated. Amen. I looked out there one day and I thought it looked like they was all getting ready to fall over. I thought, I think we've had them standing too long, you know. Real sharp there, Pastor. You're sharp. Amen. 1 Kings, 17th chapter, just 9 verses. I feel the anointing already just speaking where it's at. Amen. Amen. 1 Kings, the children have gone to their children's church. They are being ministered to. Amen. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Somebody say there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Somebody say, there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there, say there, to sustain thee. I have commanded the ravens, I have commanded a widow woman. God is a God who commands your blessing, commands your strength, the word says. Commands. And the word God has put in my heart today is a place called there. A place called there. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word needs nothing. It is complete all by itself. You are complete. You are everything. I thank you for the privilege that you have given us to be messengers, to be oracles, to share this word. I thank you for the honor, for the privilege. I thank you for the anointing that enables us to speak this word. I thank you, Father, for covering us and hiding me, Lord, and helping me. Lord, help me to speak a word that you have put in my heart. Help me to speak it with clarity and with distinction and with understanding. Father, may every eye see Jesus. Hide me. May they see you. May they hear your voice. Deep in their heart and spirit, I cannot touch their heart. Only God can really touch the heart and the spirit of men and women. I'm trusting you, Lord. I thank you that if anything good comes out of this, it would be because of you. It'd be because of your love and your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing now. I take authority over every power and principality in Jesus' name. And I declare that you are Lord. You will have your way. I pray peace and calm. And I thank you, Father, that as your word goes forth, it will find a place and will bring forth much fruit. I thank you for meeting the need of each and every one who stands in your presence this morning or is sitting, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing here for them. You're also doing for those that they love. And wherever they may be, you sent this word and you healed them and you delivered them, everyone. I thank you that we are being healed even now. Your word has been going forth from the moment we walked in and even before that as we left our homes and whatever we heard and whatever you said have said already. I want to thank you, Father. I thank you and I praise you for it. And I ask it all in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So be it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm trusting God who says in Ephesians 3:20 that he is a God who does exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. A place called there. There is a place called there for you. A place of supernatural provision. That's what this account is in Elijah's life. Provision for the vision. God always has provision for the vision. For what he has spoken to you. For what he has told you to do. For where he has led you. Amen. Amen. We got some cooling on because it's gotten the first probably day we've been a little warm. Amen. If I see your teeth chattering, I know the ushers will turn it down. Hallelujah. If I see frost on your face, I'll know. Notice that Elijah's provision wasn't where he was, but where God told him to go. You need to see that. The place God told him to be was where the provision was. Amen. Look at verse 2 through 5. And the word of the Lord came unto him. The word of the Lord comes unto every person who is hearing God, who God is leading, to, who belongs to God. And even those who don't, sometimes his word is coming to them so they can come in. Amen? The word of the Lord is going to your children today. The word of the Lord is going. The Lord said he sent his word. Amen? This word shall not return void, he says, but will accomplish till it accomplishes everything he sends this word to do. It's not just in these walls. I may know God will take this word. It will go into the airwaves, the powers and principalities. Amen. God will use it to show that it is his word. Amen. And so we see the word of the Lord came unto him, and it has come unto you and will come unto you also, saying, get thee hence. Go and turn thee eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Amen. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the word of the Lord came to him. The word of God comes to us in different ways. Through different venues, through different vessels. God's word can come to you in a lot of different ways. You never want to just seal yourself off to one way that you think God's going to speak. God speaks in a lot of ways, mostly through his word, but he will speak in a lot of different venues and ways. And that word, and you want to do, amen, he says you want to do what you want to do. We want to do what we want to do, but how many know provision is not there? Huh? I just threw that in there. I know that kind of. God is sending the provision for your needs. I said, God is sending the provision for your needs. Even right now, while you're saying all your needs, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Where God has said you should be and I should be, let me ask you, are you there? Are you where God has commanded you to be, said you should be, his word says you should be? And don't answer that too quick. Amen? Are you half there? Are you there sometimes? Somewhat there? Partially there? Here more than there? There more than here? Here, but not really here. Where? Over there. We're not experiencing provision because we're not, quote, there. Somebody shout, there. I mean, no, God has much greater provision for his church and for the body of Christ. How many believe you should have more for what you have believed for and what God has promised you than what you're experiencing right now? And so we humble ourselves and may just entertain the notion that maybe we are not there. It's a great thing to humble ourselves. Ask the one next to you, are you all there? See, you know if you're all there and if you're not all there. Are you all in? You say, well, I've been done in, I've had a hard week. That's not what I mean. Are you all in to the there that God has called you to? Amen. The word of the Lord has come to many in the body of Christ. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. It says, let us consider one another, not just consider ourselves, to provoke, not unto anger, but unto love and good works. How many know it's hard to provoke unto love and good works and you ain't around? Let us consider one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Living Bible says, let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, as the manner of some is. I may know some of God's kids have bad manners. just as your kids have bad manners from time to time. God sets the table. Provision is made. Bread and fish is on the fire. And the master calleth, come and dine. If we don't wine and dine, how many know we may go and wine? Huh? Wine what? Wine that I don't have enough. That's good. That's good. Yeah, it was getting a little cool here. I guess it cooled down real quick. I thought we might be hanging some beef here in a minute. Amen. Maybe we're having a barbecue after church. I didn't know. Hallelujah. Thank you, brothers. I appreciate your sensitivity. Let us not neglect. Provision is made. Don't neglect so great a salvation. Don't forsake the assembling. Don't leave, jilt, reject, rebuff, snub. We don't realize we're doing that sometimes. Are you hearing me? But encourage and warn each other, the Bible says, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. King James says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Psalms 133 came to me, says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together, say together, in unity, being one. How good it is when they dwell together. Dwell means live together, that means be together. For there, say there. For there, the Bible says, the Lord, again, is this word, commanded the blessing. Whew, my God. Even life forevermore. There the Lord commanded the blessing. God hasn't commanded the blessing just anywhere. God said, I commanded the blessing there, where you'll dwell in unity. Provision is there. A place called there. You got to get there. I said you got to get there. Your blessing is there. Your real blessing. Not just what you can bless yourself with. I said your real blessing is there. You haven't got near what God has for you yet. Most of what you got has been by your own hand and what you could do. But I'm telling you, what you can do and what your hand can do in these days will not be enough, will not even begin to take care of you in the days that we are facing. Come on. You will not get along with just what you have been able to do up to this point. And you have, and God has made us to be ingenious. Aren't we something? Look at someone and say, aren't you something? Look at you. You successful thing, you. You hard-working person, you. You are something as smart as you are. I see brain cells just kind of oozing out of your ears when you come in. Amen. Just amazing. It is amazing. God has made us amazing. There's not much we can't do if you put your mind to it. But we're facing things in these last days. You've got to get there. Whatever you got to do, get there. Your blessing is there. Your provision is there. Not where you allow yourself or ourselves to be. And where we allow ourselves to stay and to do. If you stay where you are, I heard the Lord say, the question will inevitably be, why haven't you supplied? I think something else is because you've been supplying all you need best you know how. And that's not bad. But you will need more than that. And I may know the reason, the question that is inevitable, why haven't you supplied? The reason is we are not where God told us to be. We are here instead of there. We're over there instead of over here. And God's grace is how he provides. So it's not that he won't bless you. It's because you're not there. Say there. A quarterback throws the ball to where the receiver should be, not where he is. Come on now. Woo. Soccer player kicks that ball to where that's going to where they're running to. They waste where they're at. Yeah. God's thrown it to where you should be. Some of you are just waking up this morning. That's good. Amen. I've heard people say, I know I should. I should have, could have, would have. Sometimes we take that step of faith, but we only go so far. We don't follow through. I know you got to follow through. If Elijah hadn't followed through, he might have starved to death. But I may know God is faithful. I said God is faithful. I've not always followed through, but God is faithful. Thank God for God. But you got to be careful. Amen. He would not have been there at the place of provision if he hadn't followed through. And I got a question. I got another question. I know I'm asking you maybe too many questions, but how did he know where to go at the brook? How did he know where to go? That brook could have been 10 miles long. Ain't that many ravens. It was a brook that was before the Jordan River, the Bible says. Cherith means gorge, a narrow opening between hills and a rocky ravine. There's a clue there. Go to the brook Cherith. Who knows how far it ran? He knew he was in the right place to answer the question because the ravens were already there when he got there. Woo! You know you're at the right place when provision is there. Hang on here. Don't leave yet. Amen. Amen. And so you got to go to the brook called Cherith. Yeah, it's narrow. Yeah, it's rocky. Yeah, it's not always comfortable. Yes, you're tired. But you do other things when you're tired. You get to there somehow, some way, and yet not to get to the there that is the most important. The ravens, one of the signs that he was in the right place. And we saw last week that grace, God's grace gives power because grace is power. Empowerment to overcome, and this is the year of empowerment, of doing the impossible. God making the impossible possible. How many are stuck on the impossible? But you're believing God to make the impossible possible. Come on. If God said he was going to make the impossible possible, how many thought in our beautiful little minds that there wasn't going to be any impossible? Come on. Talk to me. Don't tighten up on me, okay? If you didn't have an impossible, you'd never see a possible. You say, I hate that. Why has it got to be that way? I do too. But I'm not running the program. Amen? Sometimes I am running the program. They used to call it ROP when I was a kid and in the various places that I had to be because of the home situation. They called it ROP. Some of you that work with people call it running your own program. Some of us work with people like that. Some of us live with people like that. Some of us are people like that. Amen. You independent thing, you. It's good to be independent, eh? But it's also good to be dependent on God. You can be so independent, you are no good to God. The only thing you're good for is for yourself. God, did I have to preach this message, Lord? Jesus. God is making the impossible possible. He's confirming. Listen, he is confirming that he told you to do what he told you to do. And you can't take that step of faith and go off and do your own thing. That is not smart. We take the step of faith and then we figure that's all it takes. And then we're off to the races. Are you getting anything out of this? I mean, you're getting too much. You don't want so much. His provision is not accidental. And there is not necessarily where you live. Are you hearing me? It's not necessarily a place. It can be, but it can also be an attitude. It can be a mindset necessitating a mind change. There is a place of peace and authority and blessing. Following on to know, obeying the Lord, not our feelings and emotions. We either walk by faith or we walk by sight. Walking by sight is with our feelings and emotions. And most know that feelings and emotions, if you walk by them, will take you places you don't really want to go and do things you don't really want to do. How many Christians are going places they don't really want to go and doing things they don't really want to do and know God has said not to do, but you know, he knows my heart. That's scary. I mean, no, sin is not just something wrong. Sin will kill you. Sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It's not just I just did something wrong, and it'll be all right. God forgives. Yes, he does. But we got to see sin for what it is. It's death. It's taking hold of death. It's opening the door to death. And I'll tell you, the greatest door opener the devil has for that is our feelings and our emotions, our senses. And the main reason is because we're not getting a whole lot spiritually. We get a little bit here and there, so how can we walk in the Spirit? How can we live in the Spirit when we're walking so much in the flesh? If all you get is on a Sunday morning when I come to feed you corporately, you will be one that walks by your emotions and your feelings. And the devil will take those emotions and feelings. You know what feelings are. We all got them. Don't act like you ain't got yours. You got them. I love you and I hate you. I loved you yesterday, but I hate you today. I may love you tomorrow. Maybe. If I get some word tomorrow, hey, man says, love your enemies. Well, do good to them that abuse you and persecute and use you. And I read it one day, it said, kill them. But that was my translation, and it wasn't. Okay, look at Elijah. Let's not look at us. Amen. Let's look at Elijah. He puts down 450 false prophets, calls fire down from heaven, prophesies it's not going to rain until he says so, and then runs for his life from Jezebel, who swore to kill the boy before the sun went down. For his head hit the pillow. The power of a woman. Feelings and emotions. That's a sermon on Watch the Pillow, but we'll do that one later. Maybe not again. Amen. Look out for the pillow. Okay. Feelings and emotions. We all got them, but we got a measure of faith too. Amen. If you open those back doors, we'll get a little air in here so I don't choke. Thank you. I guess it's just kind of a hot message. You think maybe that's it? We saw last week that we've got to release our faith for grace to save us and to save us from ourselves as well as from the Ahab and Jezebel spirit. Ephesians 2:8 we saw, for by grace are you saved through faith, through faith, through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. We've got the power, but we've got to release it. Bottom line is you've got to find your place called there and get there and be there. And stay there till God tells you to go somewhere else. And by the way, God is not schizo. I've seen so many people in the Bible, God told me to do this. 24 hours later, well, he changed his mind. He told me to do this. Whew. Hard to keep up with you. Told me to be here. Well, now he told me to be there. Well, where in God's name did he tell you to be? Come on. If you don't know where you're supposed to be, good God. God tells us in the Word where we're supposed to be. Amen. Your grace is released through faith. Bottom line, you got to find your place. Go there, get there, be there. Hebrews 11 tells us all the people who found the place called there and what they did to find it. They obeyed his word. Verse 1, you'll find he says, you need to see it. Verse 8, I think it was, you got to believe. Verse 4 was, give it when you don't feel like it and thank him for it when you get it. Blessings begin with praise. Moses thanked God before the Red Sea opened. Jesus blessed the bread and fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Amen. Hebrews 11, read it. It'll tell you how to get there, how they got there. Anytime you operate in a high degree of faith, there will be praise. Amen. Is there praise? How much praise is there on your lips? It'll tell you what degree of faith you have. High degree of faith, high praise. Little faith, no praise, little praise. A lot of complaining. A lot of griping. A lot of worrying. A lot of anxiety. Anytime you operate, it's going to be praise of you in faith. And just because you're not seeing provision does not mean the Lord is punishing you. All it means is you're just not there. yet. Whew. I'm there, but I'm not there yet. I still got a there to go. I'm not this there, but God, the place God called there may change after a while. I may know it changed for Elijah. And Elijah got stuck for a little bit. You ever got stuck? Uh-huh. God provided there, but now we got some issues going on. The brook dried up. You ever have the brook dry up? Verse 7 and 8. Look at verse 7 and 8. And it came to pass after a while, back at the ranch, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. We've had a lot of brooks dry up in America, have we not? And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now this is the second time the word of the Lord comes unto him, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell where? I didn't hear you. Where? Dwell there, where I told you to go. Behold, I have commanded, there's that word command again, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Amen. The word of the Lord came to him. I've commanded a widow woman there. No more ravens and roadkill. You've never eaten roadkill? Never been to the Roadhouse Cafe? How many have ever been to a restaurant you were sure that was roadkill by the time you walked out of there? It was not beef. I don't know what it was, kangaroo, something, dog, mouse. Donkey, yeah. A widow woman's cooking some good home cooking. Glory to God. How many know we can't stop listening? Because God brings us into his perfect will step by step by step. Just because you heard something yesterday and last week or last month or last year, you've got to continue step by step by step. We get a word and we just kind of take off. We feel like we don't need to hear anymore. I was like, got it. That's it. And then next thing we know, well, I had it, but I lost it. Is this too much? Prophetically speaking, you're going to move step. You're going to move, step into, step out of, start the business, take the class, ask her to marry you, marry the guy. Who am I talking to? Break the measuring stick. It says, I didn't finish school, my family was poor, I'm too old, I missed my opportunity, my time. Now you start dreaming the impossible dream. We saw God answered it for Peter. He'll answer it for you. Took him right out of that prison. God takes us out of prisons. We saw that. You're going from here to there. I said, you're going from here to there. We are going from here to there. Let me prophesy over you. You are going from here to there. I don't care what the devil's doing. I don't care what stumbling blocks are in your way, what hindrances you're facing. You are going from here to there. And at that place is supernatural provision. Whew. Man. I feel that. Say, I'm going there. And I'll be there. Mm-hmm. I'll be there. I'm not sure if that's a good song or not. I have to be careful with my songs and the singing. Yes. Both are dangerous. Bless his name because he knows how to prosper you. I said, bless the name of the Lord because he knows how to prosper you. And on the back of your little declaration for your children is the prosperity of your soul as your soul prospers. And I believe that was 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things. Boy, it took them all the way to 3 John to get this one. How many have been away getting to 3 John? Come on, somebody talk to me. You've been through a lot of things, but this is where you finally end up, thank God. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. He also knows how to heal you and keep you in health and keep you healthy, not just have to heal you because you're sick all the time. He knows how to keep you healthy. And how many know if somebody's spiritually healthy, most likely they will be physically healthy. Now, there are challenges, and we go through faith challenges. So you don't blanket everybody just because somebody might be facing a challenge doesn't mean that they're not, you know. But spirit affects, physical affects spirit. Amen. What's happening in the physical realm, there's always a counterpart in the spiritual realm. That's why you can't just live in the natural realm. and by your senses and what your power and what you can do and what you can figure out. And you're good. I'm good. Most of us are good at that. But you will hit something where you will not be able to be and do, and you will need God. You will understand I need to get to my there. Where I have been will not take care of this. And provision comes from places you never expected. Whew, how many have had provision come from places you never expected? I mean, God. Whew, he got some ravens that can drop it on you. I always like to feed the birds and the ravens. I'm not sure. Maybe that was a psychological thing in me or something. Amen. Isn't that right, honey? Birds come up, get on my hand, and then sometimes they do some other things. But that's called biting the hand that feeds you. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. Dirty bird. But I still like birds. Amen. I think I like birds because when I was a kid, they used to kid me and call me minor bird. That made me mad. I'll show you the bird. No, I don't want to say that. No. I wasn't saved then, so give me a break. Whew. I better wrap this up and get out of here. Let me just close with these few words. Respond to the impressions God gives you. We're too fixed with worry and anxiety and depression and fear. You're moving into a season. I said you're moving into a season. And God's going to take the very thing, the very steam, the very thing that seems to be taking you off the rails to propel you down that line. I may know in the early beginning the locomotives, the steam is what propelled them down. We're a people that do not walk by what we see. Looking for provision in the wrong place. It's there. It's the there, not there. It's not happening because we're listening to voices that are lying to us many times. I may believe that the voice of God is the only voice you hear, and it's the only one there. I want to pray for you right after service. Because you are hearing things, and I doubt it's even God. There are a lot of voices speaking a lot of things. It may not be happening because we're listening to voices that are lying to us. And don't think they won't lie to you, telling you'll never make it. You'll always be poor. You'll never be happy. God doesn't love you. You failed too much. You sinned. You did this. You did that. Shut up, devil. I'm hearing the word of the Lord. God's got a there for me. And bless God, I'm going to get there. I said, I'm going to get there by the grace of God. So we got to get our eyes fixed on Jesus. And off of that, whatever that is, Jesus said, you're going to the other side, over there. Somebody say, over there. Yeah, there was a great storm. But he says, you're not going to sink. You're going over there. You're going over there. Somebody say, there. The disciples thought they were going to sink. Because the storms get pretty big. I mean, we got some storms that hit us, do we not? Anybody been in a storm? Wave at me and say, man, brother, you didn't even know what you're saying. I didn't think we were going to make it. It looked like there was no way but to sink. We were taking water on. But we fixed our eyes on Jesus. Jesus says, if I'm in the boat with you and you keep me in that boat, we're going over to the other side. I told you we're going over there. I said, you're going over there. I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but you're going over there. Jesus said, we're going over there. The devil will do some stuff to try to keep you from your there. Fix your eyes on the faithful one. And sometimes we're faithless, but I may know he remains faithful, the Bible says. So what do I do when I encounter faithlessness in my life? I say, I hook my faithfulness to his faithfulness. The little engine that could. Huh? I just hook it up. What if they fail? I may know he's still a faithful God. Your provision is there. There will be a place of supernatural provision, says the Lord. He has a place called there for each one of us. Amen. So tell yourself, start stepping. Come on, you can't step sitting down. Stand up with me. Start stepping. Start stepping. Come on, stepping. Come on, step. Start stepping, man. Start stepping. Yeah. 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 Start stepping. Yeah. Yeah. Stepping. Whoo. Ah, every time I lift my foot up and I bring it down, the Bible says the devil's under our feet. Yeah. Ah, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Start stepping. Yeah. Start stepping. Get till you're there. Get till you're there. By all means, whatever you got to do, whatever you got to overcome, trust God's grace. Whatever limitations, whatever obstacles, your blessing is there. It's no fun watching people who are not as blessed as they should be and could be. I may believe we should be more blessed. For what we put in here? For what we've invested? And some of that, believe it or not, what I do affects you. It may not be you, it may be what I'm doing. Because I'm not there. Hindering the blessing. Because I'm not in unity. Because I'm doing my own thing. Because I'm not listening to God. Because I'm walking by emotions and feelings. Lord, don't let me hinder my brother and my sister and the flock. You give me, I want to be there. If it's happening, don't let it be because of me. And forgive me wherever I have failed. And we have all failed and come short. Come on. Boy, I do not any way stay in here, but I am striving, Paul said. I'm forgetting what's behind, and I'm pressing on ahead. And I can't change yesterday, but I can change today. I'm not going to let the devil beat me up about yesterday and what I didn't do or what happened. But, hey, I can handle it. I can affect today. I can affect the next meeting. I can affect the next happening. I can affect the next place God told me to be. I can be there. God, help me to get there. My provision is there. Woo. Provision for your ministry, provision for your family, provision for your marriage, provision for your children, provision for God's church, provision for the city, for the state, for the nation. God, help us. Help your church. Help us, Lord. We need help. That's the best prayer I can pray. Jesus, help me. Huh? Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. You know that he loves that prayer, that shortest prayer probably. But in that time I ask him to help me, he's there. It's wonderful how he comes so wonderfully. Have you noticed that? Have you tried that? How many know what I'm talking about? I'll ask him to help me with this, help me with that. Amen. Nothing too little. I've come to learn I need him even in the little stuff, even the stuff I think I can do and know I can do. Lord, I still need you. Because the devil can put a monkey wrench in stuff. He can turn something simple into something disastrous. I need you all the time, Lord. I need you to help me. I need you even with what I know to do here. I still need you. I need you, angels. I need you to help me do this. I knew Brother Raymond knew how to fix that little closet door out there. But I said, stop! I know you're a master craftsman and not anything you probably can't do from what I've seen, but we're going to ask God to help us with this door. How many of you ever had a door turn into a disaster? Come on. Devil wants to steal your finances, steal your time, steal your victory, steal your patience. Lord, I need you. Help me, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the place called there. I thank you that you are committed to us, the great shepherd of the flock, the great shepherd of the church. You're committed to getting us there. I trust in you, Lord, to do that with me and with your flock. I thank you that you're speaking to our hearts. I pray you've spoken to every heart today. And I pray that your power that comes with your word, is your word, will help us to get to where you have commanded the blessing and life forevermore. We have seen some of those things today. The unity, the oneness. Thank you. Your word is true. Thank you for the there. I praise you for it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you. God loves you. Give the Lord a praise. He's worthy of it. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Receive a blessing. The Lord bless you. Reach your hand forth. The Lord's given it to you. He said, bless you like this. Bless you. It's an ironic blessing, but he said, bless them. If you bless them like this, I will then bless them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord keep you in trying situations, in difficult places. Lord, make his face shine on you. Every bit of darkness, every place where darkness wants to overtake, may light, let shine light of Jesus. Fill that place with light. May all darkness disappear. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you. Glory to God. Take every shadow and dispel it. Accept his shadow under the Almighty. Make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Oh, may the grace of God keep you, watch over you, bless your finances, bless your family, bless you in your health, in your body, bless you coming in and going out. Make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. May the blessings of God chase you down, overtake you. He said they would. You're on your way to there. You will get there. Be gracious to you and bless you. Bless you with peace. The greatest gift in this hour is the peace of God. In an hour where there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked, peace will be the greatest blessing in your life. The Lord give you peace, coming in and going out forevermore. I love you. God loves you. God bless you. Have a blessed week. Oh, my God, I feel God's presence. Amen. Turn around and bless somebody next to you. Just say, I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen.